please stand, if you are able, for the call to worship? These breads on the table represent the many different peoples within the family of God. An area where so many live under the threat of unimaginable violence, and Syrian refugees travel to new lands to find a safe home. We celebrate those who are working together to welcome strangers and travelers as new family. Where people struggle to care for each other in sickness, and nations work to find jobs for their people, we celebrate the people who find new ways to make health care available for everyone. An island displayed by tourist ads as a tropical paradise, ignoring the hundreds of thousands of sisters and brothers facing incredible challenges of violence and poverty. We celebrate those who are courageous enough to respond to the needs of the Caribbean today. Where the deep scars of civil war remain on the land and people, where violence, poverty, and hunger causes children to flee and cross the border into this country, we celebrate those who work to share people's stories and provide food for everyone. A place where our city schools struggle to keep going, and our young people face crippling debt, unemployment, and our elderly folk living in fear of not being cared for, we celebrate those who are being good neighbors and speaking out for what they believe in. A place full of shame and sorrow and pain. We celebrate all those who join at tables of peace and justice to bring about God's kingdom. The table is set, so let us worship God together.
Please join me in the prayer of confession. Sometimes, loving God, we judge one another. We look down our noses at other people, thinking we are better than them. When we do that, God, forgive us. Sometimes we imagine that all the ways you wanted some people to live in one time must be true for all people. When we do that, God, forgive us. Sometimes we think that if we do not live up to your hopes for us, we are failures and that you will stop loving us. When we do that, God, forgive us. When we get angry at others or forget that you always love us, remind us of your grace. Overwhelm us with your mercy that we might share it with others. We are sorry, God. Amen. Please take a moment for silent prayers of confession. When Jesus was in Jerusalem and surrounded by people who wanted to hurt him, Jesus took the time to eat with his disciples and teach them about love. When we are scared and busy, Jesus reminds us that what matters is God's love for us that will never end, no matter what. Thank you, God. Amen.
Now I'd like to invite the children to come forward and join me up front. Everybody, welcome. So I've got a question for you today. What foods have you eaten with your family? What did you eat with your family for dinner last night? What did you guys have for dinner? What did you have? Chicken tenders and fries. All right, can you beat that? Cabbage rolls. All right, yeah. What did you have for dinner? Were they good?
Yeah.
What did you guys have? All right. Okay, pecan pie. We're going to your house next time. That sounds delicious. So we have meals that we eat with our family. What about with our friends? What do you guys eat with your friends? What? You don't know? Okay. What do you think? What do you eat with your friends? Pizza, yes. How about a birthday cake? You guys have birthday cake with your friends?
Yeah.
Yes, all right. When do you guys have special food, like birthday cakes or... Yeah, when... Birthdays, yeah. Well, there's special food we're having today, too. And this is food that we're having, some with our friends and some with our family, but all of us get to share it with our church family. You guys see how much stuff is on that table today? Yeah, look at all that. Yeah, we put all types of bread up there because this is World Communion Sunday. So all around the world, there are churches right now that are sharing communion together. You guys know what communion is? A get-together? Yep, that's true. Communion is when we all come together. It's time when we get to eat a special meal as our church family. We get to eat bread and we get to drink juice and remember how much God loves us. And every time we have communion together as a church, Jesus is here eating with us and letting us know how special we are as part of God's family. So since sometimes people have communion when they're kids, and sometimes they wait until they're adults. But no matter when you have communion, you're always a part of our church family, and you're always special to us. We've got a special treat today for us to all eat together as friends and church family. Can you reach behind you and grab the tray? Yep. So I've got a snack for you guys to take back to your seat, and it is okay to eat during church this special day for communion. So you guys have something to eat with your church family. And when you get to eat it, remember how much God loves you, okay? All right, let's pray together. You guys repeat after me? Dear God, thank you for loving us. Help us to share your love with each other as one family. Amen. Okay, you guys want to take some? And when you eat it, remember that God loves the whole church family. You have those cups? Yeah, they're good cups.
Today's first reading is from the book of Psalms, my favorite book. Psalm 26, verses 1 through 12. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Prove me, O Lord, and try me. Test my heart and my mind. For your steadfast love is before my eyes, and I walk in faithfulness to you. I do not sit with the worthless, nor do I consort with hypocrites. I hate the company of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. I wash my hands in innocence, and go around your altar, O Lord, singing aloud a song of thanksgiving, and telling all your wondrous deeds. O Lord, I love the house in which you dwell, and the place where your glory abides. Do not sweep me away with sinners, nor my life with the bloodthirsty. Those in the hands of our evil devices, and whose right hands are full of bribes. But as for me, I walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be gracious to me. My foot stands on level ground. In the great congregation, I will bless the Lord.
The second reading of the word today is from Luke 22, 7 through 20. Now the festival of the unleavened bread, which is called the Passover, was near. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to put Jesus to death, for they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered into Judas, and is called Iscariot, which was one of the 12. He went away with Conferred and the chief priests and officers of the temple police and how they might betray him to them. They were greatly pleased and agreed to give him money. So he consisted and began to look for an opportunity to betray him when his no crowd was present. Then came the day of the unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed.
The third scripture reading for today continues in Luke 22. Listen for God's word. When the hour of the Passover meal came, Jesus took his place at the table and the apostles with him. He said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup. After giving thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." Friends, this is God's word here for us today. Thanks be to God. Nice to be here at GPC this morning and to be a little bit better rested than last weekend. Last Sunday night, I admit, I stayed up pretty late to watch the lunar eclipse and the bright red moon that it caused. You all saw it too, right? Definitely worth staying up for. It looks from my Facebook feed like everybody around the country did, and we all tried to take one good picture and got those really blurry, tiny shots instead. I guess it was one of those things where you just had to be there. As soon as the eclipse started last week, my parents in Nebraska texted me here and my brother in Ann Arbor. In our three separate states, we all went to our windows and stared up at the same moon, texting each other and chatting for a few minutes focused on one thing together. It's reassuring to know that even living hundreds of miles away from my family, there are still some things that we all come together for. Today is a day like that for our church. It's World Communion Sunday, a chance for Christians around the world to celebrate communion and pray for peace together. Of course, there are churches that always celebrate communion, every single service, more than once a month. And we certainly aren't the only church celebrating this day. Every time we gather here and share bread and cup, we're remembering another time that Jesus' followers shared a meal, a very long time ago. The little details of communion change a lot from church to church. Episcopalians use wine, Baptists use grape juice, and even the type of bread changes from country to country. Take a look up here afterwards. Come up and see all the different breads that we have brought together. They use around the nations. Indonesia, they even use rice sometimes. Scoop it up as part of the communion meal. I got to do that with an Indonesian student in seminary, and it was a completely new way to celebrate God's love for us. But no matter what we do when we take communion, the big picture stays the same. In giant cathedrals and tiny house churches around the world, at hospital beds and in movie theater praise services, we share bread and cup. We join together from all different places and all different backgrounds to remember that Jesus loved the world so much he was willing to die for it, just to show people a better way to live. Communion is a way for us to claim God's love for us and recognize how it makes us stronger. In today's Bible passage, Jesus invites his followers to share one loaf of bread and one cup of wine. He tells them that this bread is his body, and this cup is the new covenant for them. And every time we come here, we accept Christ's call to enter into this covenant, to devote ourselves to God, and to accept Christ's saving grace into our lives. But communion doesn't just connect us with Christ. Communion is, well, communal, a chance to get together. It's a group meal. And when we eat our cube of bread, or our strip of pita, or a gluten-free wafer, we're all eating part of the same meal. Every person who eats this is recommitting to serving Christ and celebrating Christ's love for his people. It's where it gets hard for me sometimes. Because I know there are people who take communion and love God, but would not get along with me long enough to even share dinner. There are people who love Jesus, but are pretty sure that women cannot be pastors. There are devoted, passionate Christians who are absolutely dead set against each other's beliefs, and still somehow share the same meal at the Lord's Supper. The supermoon was in the news a lot last week, but so were a few Christians, the Pope and Kim Davis, and occasionally both of them in the same sentence. Kim Davis is a Kentucky clerk who refuses to issue same-sex couples marriage licenses because of her Christian beliefs. She takes communion, eating bread and drinking wine, and trusting in Christ's love for her. A few counties over in Kentucky, my classmate Maurice pastors at a Baptist church with a special community for LGBT Christians. He serves communion to his husband and the rest of the church, eating and drinking to celebrate Christ's love for them. These two Christians disagree fundamentally on important questions about love and acceptance and family, and yet they both have a place at Christ's communion table. We all do. World Communion Sunday wasn't started around the world. Believe it or not, it was a Presbyterian thing first off. Began in a Presbyterian church in Pennsylvania, only a few hours from here. The pastor believed that in those changing times, the 30s, people had forgotten how to connect to other Christians around the world. It took a while, though, for World Communion Sunday to actually become a worldwide event. For years, things didn't really spread much further than the U.S. until World War II. In the midst of a war that tore apart nations, with Christians on both sides, World Communion Sunday finally became an international celebration. People around the world realized that having this moment together could help them remember that every communion service was part of something larger. Indeed, communion connected them with other people around the world in an act of peace, part of the reason we have our peacemaking offering today. It was something they needed so badly during so much fighting. There are times when I really wonder if we're even doing communion right, when people who are so completely against each other can still come forward and be part of one faith. The Apostle Paul says that we are supposed to settle our disagreements with each other before we come forward for communion, which is a great idea, but I don't think happens very often. What are the odds? We can't agree about how to care for each other, or who our neighbors are, or who even belongs in the church. How can we actually respect sharing in this meal together? I worry sometimes that we're messing communion up, desecrating it by letting anybody take part. Anybody who wants to be closer to Jesus is invited to this table and this sacrament, not anybody who's helped a stranger, or anyone who's read their Bible, or whose pledge is up to date. It just doesn't matter. Thankfully, we don't get to decide who deserves to have communion. Christ chooses who eats the Last Supper. And ever since that Last Supper, so long ago, Jesus hasn't been picky about who gets to share in his love and sacrifice. We eat communion as a church because we remember what Jesus taught his disciples at the Last Supper, Christ's final meal before his arrest and crucifixion. We know it was a Passover meal, celebrating a holiday sacred to all Jews. While Jesus and his disciples were eating the Passover meal together, the high priests and the Pharisees who conspired against him were doing the same thing in the same city. In their own places, each group celebrated God's power and mercy. In the Passover service, there is a part before supper begins when someone at the service must go and open the front door and invite anybody who is hungry to come inside and join them. In past times, there were people out there, and any hungry beggar could come and share in the holiday feast, eat on the good china, and be treated as family by their host. Imagine what that part of the service was like the night of the Last Supper. The disciples opened the door, not knowing whether Roman soldiers with spears will be on the other side of it. And Jesus waits at the table to begin their Passover meal, knowing that Judas is already sitting right next to him. When it was time for him to eat his last meal, Jesus broke bread and shared wine with his disciples, every last one of them, knowing that Judas had already betrayed him. Christ's love is unconditional, and Christ's meal is here for every person who needs the strength that it brings. We worry about who should have communion, and who can serve communion, and who belongs in the church at all. We certainly don't agree, even just in our Presbyterian church in America. But when we serve communion, we are not the host of this supper. Jesus Christ stands at the head of our table, at this Lord's Supper and everyone around the world. And Christ was willing to share a sacred meal with Judas on the night he was arrested. So surely we can reach out too, the other people around the table. From all around the world, in churches big and small, we offer the chance to share a meal today. It doesn't mean that everything is perfect in the church or the world. We still disagree about so many things, and there is still fighting, violence, and fear. But this tiny bite of bread and this sip of juice is everything we need to become truly Christ-like. When we eat together, we recognize that Jesus welcomes every one of us to share a meal with him. Jesus loves each of us enough to be crucified, and through his sacrifice, we have the chance for a new world of peace. Let us look around the table today, not just at GPC, but at all the people around the world who share this Lord's Supper with us. Every one of them is God's beloved child. As we share this meal, let us work to care for each other and to make peace everywhere we go. With this bread and cup, we remember Christ's love for the church and our call to Christ-like service as one community, now and forevermore. Amen. Will you please stand as you're able and join me in the affirmation of faith printed in the bulletin. Friends, why do we celebrate communion today? Christ has commanded me and all believers to eat of this broken bread and to drink of this cup in remembrance of him. The bread of the Lord is broken for me, and the cup is shared with me. Also, he has promised that he himself feeds and nourishes my soul to everlasting life. Friends, we know that especially today, this is not just GPC's table, or a Presbyterian table, or an American table, but this is God's table, and we are guests here to share in a meal together. It is written that they will come from north and south, from east and west, to share in this holy meal. We know that when the disciples could not be bothered with children, Jesus himself took them close to his heart and proclaimed that the realm of God truly belongs to those who dare to embrace it as a child. It is that same Jesus who invites us all, child, youth, and adult, to share in this sacred meal and celebrate the diversity of ages called to be the people of God. Friends, God be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the God who loves us.
We gather to celebrate the goodness of God who has made the world and all that is in it. The world reminds us of God's love every day. Trees grow tall and birds soar. Fish swim and dolphins play. Kangaroos and elk fill the forest. Day after day, we hear the call of God to care for this amazing earth and every person who lives in it. Sometimes we remember people around the world and care about them. Sometimes we do not. Caught up in our own concerns, we are careless with what God has entrusted to us, and we hurt ourselves and God's other children around the world. Yet God still loves us and wants to share a holy meal with us. In the midst of our mistakes, Christ comes to us and reminds us that God's love is greater than all of our failings and shortcomings. So we join our voices with all who seek you in every time and place, saying,
Holy, 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 God our God, heaven and earth behold your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who guides us from sin and death. Hosanna in the highest.
We remember how Jesus, beloved child of God, even in the face of betrayal, torture, and death, still gathered with his closest friends and shared a meal with them. God invites us to be guests at this table together with Jesus and believers from all around the world. We invite God to stay close to us in this meal and always. When we are afraid, may the memory of this meal remind us that we are never alone. No matter where we are, Jesus' love is with us. As we remember his life and death, as we come to the table of the resurrection, we speak of that mystery we call faith.
Christ died in the world. Christ rose, loving God with all that he was. Christ will come, blessing us forever.
The stories of our faith give us life, bring us together, and help us to pass down our faith from generations. Generation. So let me tell you what I have been told. That on the night he was to be arrested, Jesus, having loved his disciples, loved them until the end. And when they were sitting at a meal together, he took the bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it and shared it, saying, Take, eat this, all of you. Do this in remembrance of me, my body broken for you. But we know that we cannot live by bread alone. And so in the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup and poured it out. Saying, This cup is the new covenant, poured out in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. For we know that whenever we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we proclaim Christ's saving love and resurrection until he comes again. Friends, the meal is prepared and all is ready. Let us now come forward and share together. Friends, this is the bread of life, broken for us all. Taste and know that God is good. friends, this is the cup of salvation poured out for us. Taste and know God's love.
Holy God, thank you for the chance to eat together as your children. May the food we have eaten make us strong and confident in your love. Now that we have shared communion together, help us to take care of each other as one family. Amen.
Amen. Now we have the chance in our service together to share the wonderful joys that bring our lives happiness, and also share the concerns we have for the people that we love and for our community. So who has something that they would like to share with us today?
Hi, Tracy Berkovich. I had asked for prayers about 4 months ago when my husband's great-nephew was born, little Joseph. He's having some surgery tomorrow, and he is just pretty much struggling every day. So as we have our nourishment here today, at 4 months, he's not even 7 pounds. He just has a very rare form of Down syndrome and just needs prayers to make it through surgery tomorrow. And also prayers for my mom. She left this morning to drive back to Florida, so hopefully she makes it through all the storms.
Prayers for safe travels.
Dick Stewart. Christy and I'd like to welcome my sister Bonnie from Spokane, Washington, who's worshiping with us today.
Welcome.
Alex Megan. My foster cousin gets to go back with her mom.
Okay. Prayers for your foster cousin and for her mom.
Hi, Todd Pym. Just want to have prayers for a close friend of mine. His mother had a stroke this past week and is paralyzed on the left side. So I just want prayers for him and his family. Thank you.
Bennett, my brother had surgery on his hand the other day, and he couldn't go back to school. He had to have stitches in his hand.
Oh.
3 stitches.
Oh, boy. That's for him and for the rest of the family.
Marge Westfall, I'd like to ask for continued prayers for my granddaughter. She is now in Cleveland at a clinic, undergoing all kinds of tests to try to find out what's wrong with her. And the doctor there said she's a hard nut to crack.
Prayers for strength for her and wisdom for those doctors.
Prayers for the victims and the families of those in Oregon.
Yes. The families in Rosewood and the people at Umpqua Community College.
Peter Derry, just back from time with our families in the United Kingdom and a couple of our relatives, my sister and Irene's sister, a little more fragile than when we last saw them. So some prayers for their strength. Thank you.
I'd like to lift up prayers also for the Wallace family. Bill will be starting his round of chemo on October 13th. And our thoughts and prayers will be with him. Also with Barb as they continue this next part of treatment. Prayers for wisdom for the doctors and nurses who are treating them.
Abigail Unson, I have a joy. I made it into my school musical.
All right. Wonderful. Is there anything else people would like to share today? And today, as we celebrate our peacemaking offering, we all pray together that we can find a way to work for peace in our communities and safety in our schools. Let us pray. God of our life, whose presence sustains us in every time and place. We seek the grounding power of your love and compassion. The echoes of gunfire bring fear into our lives this week, so we open our hearts together in anger, sorrow, and hope. For those who have been lost, we pray for those who have been spared, and also for those whose lives are changed forever in grief. May they find solace, sustenance, and strength in the hard days to come. We give thanks for first responders, who drop everything to save the wounded and comfort survivors. We pray for doctors and nurses and mental health providers who try to bring healing and hope in the face of violence and fear. We ask for sustaining courage for those who are suffering and traumatized. Once again, we cry, "How long, O Lord?" We wonder, "When will it be enough?" We pray that you will forgive our tolerance of cultures of violence and impel us to renew our commitment to work for an end to violence in our nation. In the wake of an event that should be impossible to contemplate, open our eyes, break our hearts, and turn our hands to the movements of your spirit, that our anger and sorrow may unite to build a reign of peace. The lion and the lamb may live together, and we can all live in peace and safety. In the name of Christ, our healer and our light, who taught us all to pray together, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory of God." Today we have the chance to give back to God in thanksgiving for all the wonders that we have. We also have the chance to give our offerings today for peace, recognizing that today is the peacemaking offering in the Presbyterian Church. Part of what we collect stays right here to build peace in our community, and part of it goes out to help people in crisis around the world, that they might find counseling and strength, and we can work together to lift each other up. So let us give generously together today.
Father, we give a portion of the wonderful blessings that you bestow upon us in these gifts. We ask that we have the wisdom and the mercy to apply them to glorifying you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Maybe a little new to us, but it is an old one. It is from Israel, and I figured what better day than World Communion Sunday to sing it together. So let us sing out. Go out together, go out in peace, knowing that God's love is with you and everyone you love, and even the ones that you're still working on loving. Christ is here for us every step of our way, and may God's blessing be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.
have to worry about it in the kitchen because they're coming.